Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speaking to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go to Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand to Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to do his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear the words of his mouth. You will be his witness to all people and of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.
I wonder if you have a story of new beginnings. You know, my son started school again just at the beginning of this past week for the first time in 6 months. It was quite a moment, and he did great. And I know many have started new terms, whether at school, as pupils or teachers. And I know that there are university students even now moving to this city or moving from this city to other cities. And our thoughts and prayers are with you. But you know, these new beginnings are kind of life stage, life rhythm new beginnings, even in these strange times of COVID. But there's something very powerful when you have a new start, a new beginning that is a kind of complete transformation of your life, a kind of reset, if you like. I wonder, do you need a reset? Do you need a new start, a transformation story in your life? I think in many ways we see this need in our society. We feel it in things like the climate change crisis, where serious and I think really good questions are being asked whether this pandemic crisis could actually help us bring a kind of new beginning, a reset in the way we think about our relationship with all issues to do with the climate crisis. But you know, we also need a new beginning, a reset in our politics. We need a reset in areas of how we work and how we think about our working and our banking and even, I believe, our housing. There are some huge issues in our society which have actually been dominated by self-centeredness and greed, and which have caused havoc for many, many people around the world and are looking set to cause havoc for others. And we need new beginning, a new transformation, a new start. We need to connect with something that is bigger than us, beyond us, something that will take us out of ourselves. And you know, in our story today, in the Bible passage that Rosanna so beautifully not just read and told us, but drew for us, there is a wonderful picture of a story of someone's life who is completely transformed, who finds their old life being kind of reset to a whole new life as part of something so much bigger. The Apostle Paul tells his story in Acts 22, and so big was the transformation that happened that we see that Paul changed his name from Saul to Paul. So forgive me if I sometimes mix up the names, but I will try to use this same name that is used in the passage that Rosanna read for us, the name Saul, because the way we find Saul in this passage as he tells the beginning of his story is Saul is someone who in his old way of thinking, thought Christianity and Christians were trouble. They were like a bad virus. Their message needed to be contained or stopped. We read in verse 4 that Paul says this, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting them and putting them in prison. But something changed for Paul. Something changed to turn this man Saul into the one who was going to become the Apostle Paul. Something can change for you and something can change for me, but for Saul, what started the change was when he heard this voice and saw this bright light, and in that moment he realized his blindness. Now, in the story, Saul thought he was a good person. He would thought he was making the world a better place. But when this physical blindness comes upon Saul with this bright light, it's like it reveals a bigger blindness that's been there all along. And you and I, too, if we're to see real change and new starts and transformations in our lives, we need to realize where we are blind. Now, in terms of physical sight, I have only once really been in danger with my sight changing. And it was a time when I was playing rugby. I used to play quite a bit of rugby at school and fly half or center. And as I was one time running along the backs and looking to pass the ball out this way, someone tackled me and their forehead bashed into the back of my head. And I kind of knew that it was not great, but I thought I was kind of okay. And so the teacher said, just sit out the game. And then I got picked up by my mum, and I was waiting for my mum. And I just thought, you know, I told her I'd had a bit of a knock on the head. And I said, you know, my vision is getting a bit blurry. And then I started losing some of the feeling in my fingers. I got pins and needles everywhere, my fingers, my toes. And then my mum asked me a question. She asked me a question I really should have known how to answer, but what it revealed was that actually my brain wasn't really working. I had concussion, I later discovered. In fact, swelling on the brain. And you know, it was my mum's question that particularly helped her realize how urgent the situation was. And in our story, the Apostle Saul is asked a question that comes from this voice from heaven. We read in verse 6, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice to say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, God often uses questions to get our attention. He uses things that maybe others say or even our conscience says to us that cause us to start grappling with big things in our lives. You know, why do we do what we do? Why do we keep going back to that bad habit when we know it just brings slavery in our lives? Why do we go looking for joy in the wrong places when we've discovered time and again that we don't find lasting joy in them? You know, why are we afraid? Why are we angry? So often those questions can reveal deeper truths in our lives. I wonder, is God trying to get your attention by a question that you just can't shake in your spirit? Why are you doing what you do? Could there be there's a bigger problem than you realize? Like there was for Saul and there was for me when I had that concussion. Could it be that you and I need to realize more of the blindness that is there in our lives? You know, Paul thought he was doing something good, but actually when he was persecuting and murdering Christians, he was doing something evil. Could it even be that you and I, or our society at times, thinks we're doing good when we're actually doing evil? We need to realize our blindness, to allow God to wake us up with his questions and with the circumstances that we are facing. And you know, with Saul, God didn't kind of force him to change his thinking. He asked questions that challenged his reason and his conscience and got him his attention. And in the same way as that in Revelation, there's a very sobering verse when God tries to get the attention of a church. And he says in Revelation 3:17, he says to this church, "You say I am rich and have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." So whether you call yourself a Christian or you're like Paul, someone who's sort of hostile or suspicious to the things of Christ, I wonder, do you and I need to realize where we're blind? If we're going to be part of a story that's bigger than ourselves, a story that actually makes us part of the solution and not part of the problem in our world today. You know, when Saul realized that he had been living life in a way that wasn't right, then change could begin in other ways in his life. And for me, when I was talking to my mom and she realized how serious it was, you know what? We didn't then just go home. We went straight to see the doctor. We went to the hospital because I needed help. And you know, when Saul realizes his blindness, he realizes that there's a change of perspective that he's going to need, and he discovers new sight. And one of the things that wonderfully opens up that new sight for Saul is this question we read back in verse 8. He says this: "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who are you really, God? Who are you, Jesus?" That is a fantastic question to answer. And it's amazing how often we've dismissed Jesus or been suspicious of him. That's certainly true in our culture. And it's fascinating sometimes to hear people's accounts of who they think Jesus is. There's a great course called the Alpha Course. Many in our church have done it. It helps people explore issues of faith and life and a chance to ask your questions. And this is a short little couple of minutes clip from the beginning of the Alpha video. Here we go. Thanks, Ben.
He is arguably the most famous person in history. Over 2 billion people claim to follow him. That's one third of the world's population. He's represented in art and literature more than any other figure. Time magazine called him the most influential person who has ever lived. But who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus?
I believe he was a person.
He's the Son of God.
I don't believe Jesus ever really existed.
Son of God.
If I have to answer that question, I would say God.
He plays on the wing for Chelsea.
If you read the Bible, I don't think I'd believe in all of that.
Everything. He can be any, but for me, he's everything.
Who is Jesus? To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not super religious or anything, so. I mean, I guess he's a savior or something.
Personally, I think that Jesus was probably a really cool dude who lived a long time ago and gave great advice to people, and it snowballed.
What about you? Who do you think Jesus is? And maybe watching that little video has whetted your appetite to even watch more and to do the course. If you're interested, we're looking to start a couple of online Alpha courses in this autumn, in October probably. So if you're interested, go to the Next Steps link on our website, and we'd love to get in touch with you and give you more information about those courses. But, you know, one of the things that Saul discovers as he asks this question, who are you, Lord, that the answer comes back very clear. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. This bright light, this voice from heaven was actually very clearly the voice of Jesus Christ. It was the glory of Christ that was shining. And this was stunning for Saul, because he thought that Jesus, who had definitely lived as a contemporary of his, he would have known that. He would have known that he died in Jerusalem just a few years before this event, or a few weeks before this event. And yet, actually, the staggering thing was that Saul assumed that Jesus was still dead, that all the message that the Christians were saying was false and dangerous. And yet here is the risen Jesus speaking to the apostle Saul. And the glory and the light speaks of his divinity, and the fact that he's risen from the dead speaks of this is the one who claimed to be God, who is God. But the wonderful phrase Jesus of Nazareth speaks of his humanity, that he was a man who lived in a kind of insignificant village of Nazareth and was humble and worked there and worked as a carpenter. And Jesus, this man who was also God, is now speaking to Saul. And you know, if you and I are to discover new sight that brings a transformation in our lives, we also, like Saul, must encounter personally the risen Jesus Christ. It's striking how in verse 9 we read on that Paul says, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. There was something personal about this to Saul. And in the same way, the risen Jesus wants to get your attention and my attention, maybe in a different kind of way to Saul, but he wants to speak to you and tell you that he's real, that he loves you, that he's alive and for you, and that he wants to invite you and I out of our self-centered stories into his much bigger, glorious story that is bringing hope and rescue for our entire world. You know, Jesus is the one who is far greater than any of us have yet fully realized. I love this book, The Incomparable, and there's a great quote in this book by Andrew Wilson about how Jesus is the one who shines like the sun in full strength. And he says this, the light of the sun has been sustaining every form of life on the planet for its entire history. So has Jesus, only more so. The sun is so dazzling that we cannot look at it without being blinded. Even though we are nearly 100 million miles away, so is Jesus, only more so. Jesus is like the sun, which is so bright that every year, simply by shining upon cold and barren places, it causes life and growth to burst forth where previously there was empty wilderness. So does Jesus, only more so. When there are barren places in your life or mine, where there is a need for life, where it seems the kind of stench of death and decay is around our lives or in our societies or families, what we need is an encounter with the risen Jesus, the Prince of glory and peace, the one who brings hope. And when we encounter him, there is really only one question that follows on from realizing who he is. And that is the question Saul asks in verse 10. He says, what shall I do, Lord? It's the question you ask when you see a doctor who you know you need his help. When my mom took me to the hospital and she found someone who was who could help me, she didn't kind of go, well, that's interesting you say that. I'm thinking we might do something else. No, she listened to the doctor and she did what he said. And you know, when you come to Jesus, you and I, when we realize who he is, like Glory has come to that point, as she shared in her story, then you think, God, what do you want me to do? And there's some very clear things that we read that Saul has to do. He's encouraged to connect with Ananias, and we read that in verse 10 to 13. You can read back and look at that. And I want to encourage you, if you've responding to Jesus, if you recognize your need of him, connect with others. You know, again, use that Next Steps link on our website. We'd love to help you connect and help you feel that welcome that Saul felt when Ananias came and said to him, hey, brother Saul, even though he was maybe expecting not a welcome response because he'd been so long an enemy, and yet he was welcomed in. And then we read that he's encouraged to tell his story, you know, speak of what you've seen and heard. And he's given a specific call in that to, as we see later in the book of Acts, to the Gentiles, to those who are non-Jews. But, you know, for you and I, we too will be need to share and tell our stories with those around us that God has put in our way. What is your story that Jesus might want you to share with those around, of how he can transform and help and bring hope in your life? But then finally, we read in verse 16 that Ananias says to him, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Part of the response to what shall I do, Lord, is this call to be baptized. Baptism is this picture of having our sins washed away. That's why it's such a wonderful thing when people go all the way under the water and all the way out. How is it a picture of having your sins washed away? How does it wash away our sins? Well, it's not because the water is somehow special magical water. No, it's because of the symbolism of baptism. Baptism is a picture of our identifying ourselves with Jesus' death on the cross for us, and his burial and his resurrection. It's a picture of us saying, yes, we want Jesus' death to be in our place, because the Bible says the wages of sin, of our failing to follow God's way, is death. And the free gift of life in Jesus is eternal life. And so actually, if we are to discover a new start, we need to have this sentence of death taken away from our lives, and only Jesus, who died in my place and your place, the perfect man, can take away that sentence of death over our lives. He, the Lord of light, as he died on the cross, took our story of darkness on him. And in fact, darkness came over the whole land, we read in the Gospels, for 3 hours when Jesus was on the cross. He lived my story of darkness so that I could live his story of light. He lived your story of darkness so that you could live his story of light, that you could have a new start, that you and I could be brought into this bigger story where Jesus is at the center of the story that is making all things new. In fact, that is the story, the big story of our world. And Jesus is the only ultimate hope. And so I want to encourage you, as we come to the end, just as my mum followed that doctor's advice, and actually what they needed to do was they put me to sleep so that they could start doing some things that would help reduce the swelling. And then when I woke up, my sight was restored. I was now on the mend. I was now able to see things clearly, no longer blurred, no longer pins and needles. The swelling had gone down. And in the same way, Jesus wants to take our lives and, as it were, give them a new start. And baptism is that picture of us, so that we become part of his story of light. We can see clearly who he is and what he wants us to do in the world. And so I would love to pray for us. I have a prayer on the screen, which I'd love you to echo in your heart with me. So why don't you bow your head, and even out loud, why not echo this prayer with me as we end? If you want to become part of this big story where Jesus is at the center, let's pray together. You may, in this moment, just as we prepare to pray, just acknowledge that there are areas of blindness in your life. And just Holy Spirit, come and bring new life, a new beginning to people as we pray this prayer together on the screen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, sorry for where I've had the wrong view of you and proudly lived my life my own way. Thank you for helping me see you more clearly, Jesus. I believe you died for my sin and that you rose and are alive today. Please help me know you more. Please fill me with your life and light. I echo Saul's words. What shall I do, Lord? Help me do what you say and be part of your bigger story. Amen.